Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled, Is a Podcast Right for My Company? For this month's audio program, we're bringing you an interview that I had with a local social media manager, podcast expert, and a podcaster in her own right, Carrie Vaco. Carrie provides us with some very valuable insight into why you want a podcast, as well as how to create your own podcast and social media pages in ways that will bring you more customers and more profitability to your business.
Well, that's right, Bill. And I especially like the portion that she discussed what truly made a podcast or page stand out, which is you. Sure, there's other businesses that can provide the same service as you do, but you bring a unique perspective and expertise to your work, and that's something that only you can provide. That adds value to your online presence.
Well, exactly, Tom. You never underestimate what you, both as a creator and as a business owner, can bring to the table. Well, Carrie Vaco is a podcast marketing expert ready to get your message out to the masses. She knows entrepreneurs spend too much time spinning their wheels with marketing and feeling like there's no traction. Carrie takes the stress out of creating your profitable podcast and helps you attract your ideal client. And now, give a listen to today's presentation titled, Is a Podcast Right for My Company?
Well, welcome to today's program. Carrie, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me so much, Phil. I'm super excited for our conversation.
Oh, absolutely. And our topic today, the podcasting and that whole online presence is something that kind of excites you, doesn't it?
Oh my goodness. This is like one of my absolute favorite conversations to talk about with the boom of podcasting that we've been seeing as an industry as a whole within the last like 5 years or so. It's definitely been something that has piqued a lot of people's curiosity of how do I get started or is this even right for me? So I'm excited to dive into this conversation today to figure out whether or not this could be a good asset for your business.
Sure. Right. And that is that question that, you know, one of those questions that come up, you know, many of our listeners are, you know, small business owners, they're you know, contractors, you know, in different areas. And does my business really need this, right? Mm-hmm. Why would I want to consider this as a part of my business?
Yeah. So anytime I'm talking with new business owners who are asking the same question of like, is a podcast right for me? One of the big things I always make sure I talk about is you want to make sure as a business owner, you have content that you own. And not just like I throw out something on social media and that's mine. You want to have long form content. You want to be able to have something that is substantial. You're building that know, like, trust factor with your audience. And most of the time what we see, that's either going to be through video, that is going to be through blog posts, or it's going to be through podcasting, because those are actually things that you own. And when you pour all of your time and energy into social media marketing or whatever the big trend is on TikTok right now, you don't own TikTok and you don't own Instagram. So that could be gone tomorrow and your business is gone. And that's not safe. That's not secure. That's not something that we want to throw all of our eggs into one basket in. So I always recommend for my business owners, what long form content are you going to make a priority to produce? So whether that's going to be video, whether that's going to be blogging, or whether that's going to be podcasting. And for me, and for this conversation, we're going to be diving directly into podcasting and why I see that one is actually the best benefit instead of blogging or video. So I'm excited about it, but having a long form content that you own is something as a business owner, you want to make sure that you are investing time and resources into.
All right. So let me ask this, because you've used that term a couple of times, long form content. What is long form content?
Yeah. Long form content, when we think of blogs or videos or podcasting, it is you teaching or training on something you're an expert at.
Okay.
So it is, so if we take even looking at a blog post, it is 300 to 500 words of you're putting it out there in the world to say, I'm an expert on this and I'm going to teach you on this. So if we take that from the TikTok stance, you've got 6 seconds, 8 seconds, that would be best, but you're actually building in more time. You're wanting to capture more of that person's attention because as we know with most things, the more time you spend on certain marketing materials, whether that's a video or a podcast or a blog, the algorithm is going to reward that person because they're spending more time with you. The more time that you can spend with, have your customers spend more time with you as a business owner through the mediums that you put out of your information, the more likely they're able to trust you, the more likely they're able to see you as an expert in your field, and more likely they are to eventually be a customer and purchase from you, which is ultimately
the goal. They ultimately do buy from people they know they like, they trust.
That's right? Correct.
If they don't know that you like, you trust you, chances are they're not going to buy from you.
Yes, very true.
Okay, so that's helpful. That's good. So let me ask this then. I mean, more and more today, not only are podcasts widely common, popular today, which is podcasts being straight audio.
Yes.
What about streaming or live streaming with the video side of it?
Yes, this is so great. So one of the things that we've been seeing directly with podcasting compared to video is I'm a consumer of both. I love my videos that I watch on YouTube and I love listening to podcasts. I can't watch a YouTube video while I'm driving. I can't watch.
Oh, but there are some who try.
I'm fully aware of that. I'm fully aware of that. It's like you have to turn that phone screen away so that way you're really focused. I always like to say it for podcasting, because it's audio only, you're putting somebody, like you're putting on your earbuds in those mundane moments. So I'm a mom, so when I'm folding laundry, when I'm driving on my commute to work, when I am cooking dinner, those mundane moments that I can't have my attention on a video screen and cooking at the same time, but I'm being able to like focus on something, but then hear audibly something that's going on, I actually am able to consume more of it rather than if I was sitting down watching a video. And because podcasting is so much newer, there's actually more market for it. So I know right now we're looking at, well, isn't podcasting like really saturated? Like, seems like everyone and their dog is starting a podcast. Like, is there really room for me? The reality with podcasting is it is booming, which is great. It's great for us who are getting in the ground now before it really, really takes off. Most of the time with podcasts, people start and then they stop. Right. So you have tons of podcasts that just lay dormant, which as me, as somebody who's wanting to listen to one, I'm only going to listen to the ones that are new, not
current.
Yes, exactly. I might look at one that hasn't been updated in a year and be like, well, that might be outdated information and they don't take it seriously because they haven't updated in a year. Or I'm not going to take it seriously.
Even if it's good,
there's
no place for it to go because it's not updated.
Correct. Absolutely. Yep. And when the question is of like, do I start a podcast or do I do YouTube? There's so much more saturation on YouTube. I mean, YouTube is almost surpassing Google as a search engine.
Right.
So if you're looking at it like that, like, okay, that's probably not the direction that it's a longer crawl. Any sort of long form content, blog, video, or podcasting is a marathon. This is not a sprint.
Right.
But if you're committed to the long haul of it, you're going to reap a really great reward from it.
Cool. Okay. So that's, and then, it all comes down to how much time we have really as well, right? Because I don't have time. Really, audio is easier, is it not?
Absolutely.
I mean, doing straight audio, because anybody can do that. You get into the live streaming and yes, there's, you can do that kind of on the fly as well, but it takes a little bit more to make that happen.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good. So how do I get started? I'm thinking about this. I'm interested in doing this. And again, there is value to becoming seen as the expert in your market. But how do I get started?
Yes, such a great question. So there are tons of different avenues to get started. One of the things that I love about podcasting compared to video, for example, we're sitting in your studio, which is wonderful. This costs a lot of money to set this all up. We have a wonderful producer who's doing this for us. Like there's a lot of different elements that come to specifically video. Where with podcasting, you have your mic, you have your computer, maybe you're side by side with somebody else and you're able to do it without video on, which is so nice because you can show up just as you are. You don't need to be full glam. You can show up in your pajamas. I know. It's so great. And it feels more casual.
Sure.
Where with video, you feel like you almost have to be on and feel like you're more presentable and maybe you're putting on a little bit more of a show. Where with audio, I feel like you can be a little bit more real. It's a a little less upfront investment, which is really great with podcasting. So really what people need to get started is they need a podcast host. Mm-hmm. So that's what that actually is where you're going to upload your audio files to. Okay. So that way it spreads out to all the different directories that are out there. So your popular ones like Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and Spotify, you don't need to like figure out how to get my audio to that one and that one and that one. You can actually have a host.
Ah, so I can work with the host and they will get it to all those others.
Yes.
You know what? I beat my head against the wall trying to play with the Apple one a time or two.
And oh, my goodness.
Felt I didn't have the time or the energy to do it.
Correct. Yeah. So it makes it super simple to be able to upload to a host that sometimes comes with a monthly fee, very minimal charge. And then they put it out to all the different places and you don't then need to touch it. So I know for the podcast that I host every Thursday morning, that thing is getting plugged out to all the different outlets that we want it to.
Okay.
So I know that we have Apple Podcasts and Google and Spotify. Those are our three main ones that we have listeners listen on, that they're getting it because I don't have to worry about how do I get this connected to Apple Podcasts and how do I get this one to Google. And there's so many new ones out there that being able to just go to one place to get it is super easy. So you record, you upload to the host, and then it's done.
Easy is good. So then let me ask this question is, do I have to specify which platforms I want it to be visible on, or they just broadcast it?
Such a great question. So you can actually, when you're going in and setting up a podcasting host, and again, you could YouTube so many videos, you can hire an expert to be able to set this all up for you. You can pick and choose which ones you want it to go to. So you're going in on the front end and connecting it individually to make sure it's like connecting to, we're going to get a little nerdy here, your RSS feed, making sure that's all set. And then week after week or however often you decide to publish a new episode, it automatically goes out there. So a little bit more on the front end to make sure everything gets connected and you can pick and choose which ones that you want it to go to.
Okay, good. All right, that makes sense. Now, you know, can if I want to do this, I mean, can I just grab my microphone and go with the coworker that we've got here and talk about a topic, or do I need somebody else to kind of host this thing? Right. So in today's session, I'm kind of playing the host a little
bit. Yes.
Right. And do I need somebody to do that, or how does that work best? What's your thought?
Yeah, it's such a great question. So I work with a lot of different podcasters and a lot of different people who have podcasts, and there are really two different philosophies when it comes to it. So a lot of people will start one just themselves because they want to be seen as the expert in a particular field. I always recommend if you're going to go that route, your first few episodes are just going to be you talking to your microphone. A lot of people will put the image of like who their target customer is, so it feels like they're talking to somebody, and have that conversation. So that way you're seen as the expert over and over again, rather than always having guests on.
Sure.
So that's one track of philosophy. Another track of philosophy is what my husband and I do with our podcast. So we both talk together. So it adds a little bit more dynamics to it, just like this conversation.
Yep.
It would be a little bit more boring if it was just me talking for just straight training on everything it was. It might be a little less dynamic. Not that there's anything bad, but it's nice to kind of have the ebb and the flow of having a host with it.
I would agree with that.
Yes.
I would agree with that. And it can be as simple, quite honestly, as just sitting down and laying out a couple of questions that we're going to talk about in today's session.
Correct. Yes. It can be as simple as that, or it can be as complex of, hey, I actually want you to do a little mini training on this, and I'll interrupt with a couple of questions here. Those two different avenues are both great. They both have pros and cons. And either way that you feel like would be a best setup for not only you, but ultimately we're doing this to set up your target customer. We want them to be able to build that know, like, and trust, so that way they want to come back and purchase from you. So whatever you feel like is best going to serve them, that's always the best answer.
And one of the things that I always think is, you know, for me, I'm not always the most organized individual, right? So I've got my list of questions that I've gotten. And I think having somebody else to bounce the conversation off of gives me the opportunity to think of other questions that may not be on my list. It also, you know, I think breaks up the conversation. So I tend to like that format better.
Yes. Okay. I, as a listener to so many different podcasts, I love the dynamic of being able to hear two different people, two different types of experiences. Mm-hmm. Everyone interprets things differently. Right. So being able to hear those types of things is really great. And then those on-the-fly questions. Because sometimes you can kind of tell when something's a little bit more scripted. So when you throw in those like pitches of some questions, it's always fun to just kind of go on the fly sometimes. Right.
Yeah, and it is interesting. I'm going to go back just a moment because on that same vein, you know, one of our trainers, you know, Jordan, was in here in the studio just recently, and being video, you know, he again was feeling, okay, I need to be that classroom a little bit more even. Well, no, I don't want that, right? I want it to be a little bit more spontaneous, a little bit more exciting, a little bit more. And so sometimes the video gets in the way of that as well, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So I got this thing out there, right? I put it out there. I've decided I want it on Apple or Google or wherever I want it. And how do I get followers, right? Because I don't want to just sit and talk to myself and have nobody listen to this thing.
That's such a good question. And actually, podcasting's a smidge differently. Mm-hmm. So we're not actually able to track followers. Okay. I know this is like, this is the mind-breaking thing when it comes to people who want to start a podcast. They're like, well, how do I know what my follower count is? Well, it's not as simple as like you just log onto your page and you see, okay, they have 10,000 followers. They must be very successful, like with Instagram or different social media platforms, or even for YouTube to be able to track subscribers and that kind of thing. There are different, let me back up. The big thing that you want to be tracking when it comes to podcasts is actually podcasting downloads. So these are the downloads that somebody has had, like somebody is listening to your podcast.
Okay.
We are not able to call them by name. You might have like a name for your target customer, but we're not able to say like, okay, Bill in Green Bay is listening to my podcast, or Caroline in North Dakota is listening to my podcast. We can't put a name and a face to it. So this is where podcasting gets to be very, very awesome because it's actually able to build more relationships with people. So the reason why I love podcasting for business owners, this is your top of funnel. So this is your way you're pouring people into your business, but you're actually being able to call them by name. So anytime I recommend when people are starting a podcast, you want to be leading them to something. So you want to be getting them on your email list. Maybe you're wanting them to follow you on Instagram, send you a direct message over on any social media platform. You're wanting to build that relationship with them because the podcasts that do really, really well have high download numbers.
Okay.
So you want to be able to hit a certain amount of downloads per month to rank up in a certain amount of charts through different like platforms and third parties for all the podcasts that are out there. And then from there, you want to be tracking and seeing how many new connections am I making? How many new people are coming onto my email list that I know are coming from the podcast because I'm asking them, where did you find me? And most of them are coming from the podcast. As long as you have that set up in your back-end processes, that's a huge way to be able to track how many people are coming from your podcast. And being able to have that process already set up, you're building that know, like, and trust. You're getting them into your pipeline and your funnel. So that way, throughout the time of your normal marketing stuff that you have, you're building them into a lifelong customer.
And so let me just ask a question on that piece of it, right? So I'm a small company, a couple of people on my team. I don't really have this electronic CRM. Right? I track them in QuickBooks. And so that's really not going to be that avenue. So one of the, you know, the tools that we've used, you know, like a Constant Contact or an Eye Contact, MailChimp, right? Those are all avenues that you can use to collect some of the that email information and then give you the ability to then start doing email marketing back out to them, sending them information on to move them further down that funnel.
Correct. And that's a big thing with podcasting is when you frame it in such a way of like, this is my top of funnel, instead of doing all your social media, all of your market, like all of that kind of like, well, I'm hoping it bites and catches. When you pour it back into a long form content, it, again, going back to that know, like, trust, that's a big thing when it comes to podcasting. They're listening to your voice over and over and over again. I know with a podcast that I listen to personally, I feel like I'm listening to a friend. Like I'm sitting up at a table next to them, I'm hearing their conversation, and I know that whatever they say, I'm probably going to buy because I've just spent so many hours listening to them that I feel like they're my friend and I trust them.
Okay, so then that brings me to the next question is, okay, I'm in a small community, right? So I am in Fargo, North Dakota, right? And so I put out this podcast out there and anybody in the world can listen to this thing, right? What good does that do me?
Such a great question. So one of the things that you want to be thinking about if you are going to be starting a podcast is how does your business go internationally? Or what are different ways that people can work with you instead of physically getting in person with you? I think if COVID has taught us anything, going online and in a digital space is critical these days. And especially it's only going to be increasing. So if you are wanting to start a podcast, again, great, because you're kind of thinking digitally in that sense. How is your business going to back that up then? Because if I live in Fargo, North Dakota, but somebody wants to work with me in South Carolina, but I have to meet with them in person, okay, that's going to be a little bit more of a bigger gap to bend rather than if I could actually meet with them over video or have some sort of program that they could be a part of online that I can get them invested into right away.
But even there, I would think that, okay, maybe my choice is I don't want to deal with somebody in South Carolina, right? But there's still a value, don't you think, in terms of, okay, I become the expert in this area. And hey, if you're in our market, we can come to you and help you solve this problem.
Absolutely.
Right? So I may be looked toward across the country, but it's my local benefit customers in my community that have the benefit of being able to work with me in person.
Yes, absolutely.
Is there any downside to that?
You know, I'm such a like meet in person type of person. I mean, we're meeting in person right now, and I think there's just such a different flavor to that. I think when you're able to build connections globally, I mean, podcasting, we have, for my husband and I, we have podcasters across the globe. And there are such cool connections that we can build, and realizing how small our world actually is, that when so-and-so in South Carolina knows about a company in Fargo, well, they might have family up in that region of Minnesota that South Carolina people can refer. So I always, I never see it as a downfall as being able to have like an in-person business, again, with like the coming to you side of things too. I just always look at, okay, if we're going podcasting, we're going digital, how else can we make our business digital so that way we can meet the needs of other people?
Sure. Absolutely. I like that. I like that. So that's interesting. They're really not followers, they're downloads.
Yeah.
Okay. Got to remember that one. So what are some things that people, you know, and you've been doing this for a little while, right? You're involved in a lot of different podcasts or following. What are some things that people do either really well or really lousy?
Oh my gosh, this is such a good question. So my husband and I own a podcast production and marketing agency. So we have seen the gamut of so many different things when we have clients who work with us or we have different people who want to work with us that maybe weren't going to be a good fit. One of the biggest things that we see is people who start podcasts and then go full force. They're going to do every week, they're going to do an episode, a fully produced episode. And then 2 months later, they're like, wow, I really bit off more than I can chew. And those are the people that are like, oh man, if we could only start like with every other week of doing, building that consistency, that would have been a win rather than biting off more than you can chew. Absolutely.
Because I think you know, one of the common misconceptions is that if I'm going to do this online, I need to be there. I got to do something every day. Right. And so that's a fear I think for a lot of people is I don't have the bandwidth to do it that often. So it's okay to do it a little bit more sporadic.
Absolutely. The biggest thing and the biggest thing with podcasting, which is also sometimes the biggest mistake, is consistency is key. So define what consistency looks like for you. Figure out what works best for you and your schedule. Maybe it's every other week. Maybe you produce something very high quality once a month. And that is what you're committed to. Or it is once a week. And this is something that, we have the, I've timed it out. I have this set on my calendar. I'm able to do it once a week. But if you bite off more than you can chew and then you're backtracking and doing less and less episodes, that's a disservice to your audience. Because they, when they start listening to you, they want more of you. And then when you start leaving them wanting more, that's not a good thing. They're going to go and find somebody else who has that. So that's one of the things that we see is like some of the big mistakes that we can see people make is biting off more than they can chew and not having consistency. The other thing that with it is audio quality. One of the things, this isn't just like you've got your voice recorder app on your phone that you're just going to record the audio and you're just going to hope for the best. When you only have audio and you only have that sense to actually utilize when you're listening to something, your senses are heightened. Mm-hmm. So you mm-hmm. notice when things are probably not
as
great
quality.
Somebody walking
in the background, yes. talking at a distance.
Absolutely. And, yeah. You hear the dog barking right. in the background. You hear the, I've heard cop cars in the back of like sirens. And I'm like, who produced this? So making sure that when you make the decision you want to do a podcast, you are going to do an upfront investment of some good equipment. That is going to be something that you want to invest in. It is going to be less than a nice camera to do a video recording.
But you can get a really good Yeti mic.
Yes,
on
absolutely.
Amazon for $100.
Absolutely.
Right? And,
yes.
And have great sound quality.
Yes. There are so many different things that you can do to really amp up your sound quality. Mm-hmm. So that way your production on the backside, so whether you're editing or doing some different chopping stuff, some wording out mm-hmm. or doing some filters on your audio. That way that process is so much more streamlined mm-hmm. because we have done podcasts where you can tell it's on a phone and you're like, I am so sorry. We can only do the best we can.
Right.
And our recommendation is to invest in really good equipment. So that way we don't have to go through this over and over again.
Sure.
Because then people just stop listening. If they know right. it's not going to be a good quality, even like with video, if you notice it's not great quality, mm-hmm. you're like, come on, you can put more effort into right. this. You can do this. So that's one of the things that I'm like, okay.
If the production is low quality, then the information might be low quality.
Yes, exactly. Because it's saying that you're not taking this seriously. Right. And we mm-hmm. want to make sure we're producing excellent quality service because it's not just a reflection for our people. It's on us mm-hmm. too. And we want to make sure we have a really high, excellent reputation.
Sure. So let me go back for a moment to the being consistent. Mm. I think... just a thought that popped in my head there is that that's one of the other things that I like about the back and forth conversation, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, quite honestly, you might find after you sit down and have a conversation on whatever the topic is that your customers might be interested in and know that there's a lot more of those than you think there are, mm-hmm. right? About your content. And all of a sudden that conversation goes on for an hour and a half.
Right.
Well, you've just created a couple of different podcasts, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, right? Absolutely.
You can split that into two, mm-hmm. and now suddenly you've got already two in the can.
Exactly.
So, and then let me ask this question is, so do you have a favorite software that you use to edit that audio?
Yeah, there's so many out there. So I'm really grateful. One of the ones that we use, I'm going to be really transparent. Mm-hmm. I don't like monthly subscriptions when it comes to like
both.
Audio
yep.
stuff. So one of the platforms that we use is a lifetime access, and it's called Reaper.
Okay.
So it's $60 for life, which mm-hmm. is so great. We can do all of our audio editing on it. Another one that we use is Adobe, so being able okay. to edit all the audio through Adobe for different things. That's nice if you're wanting to do a video and an audio one mm-hmm. because you're able to do both for Adobe. And then another free one for video that I'm sure can do audio. I'm not super familiar with it, is DaVinci. So that's a free software that's out there. I know they're kind of competing with Adobe a little bit to make sure that they are as robust as Adobe without the price that mm-hmm. Adobe can come to. So those are some different softwares I recommend. Otherwise, you can go onto Fiverr and outsource this.
Okay,
so
yeah.
a lot of people who we work with, they don't want to do any of the editing. Mm-hmm. So that's where we come in. We take care of the audio editing and the scheduling and all the show notes and all those types of things that as a business owner, you just want to show up and mm-hmm. do what's best. You want
right.
to show up, just give the content and kind of just wipe your hands clean and be done. So mm-hmm. being able to hire an agency, to be able to work with a podcast production agency or a producer, to be able to pass off that other stuff is so beneficial and it's
absolutely.
Worth the investment of time it's
right.
going to take.
And we do this. So my program that I use is Audacity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? It's another free program
yes.
that's out there that it's purely audio, but you can edit. Right. So one of the things that we even talk about here is when we goof up, right? What you as a listener don't know is we just cut that little piece
right.
out and you will never hear it. And I'll also say that even with this program, right? So the last thing that you mm-hmm. just brought up, right? We've got elements of this program. Think about what you listen to in this program itself. Yeah, there's a content of Carrie and I talking about this, but we have the introduction with the background music and there's an outro at the end of it. We don't do any of that. Right. We do
yes.
contract with a mm-hmm. company outside. So literally we record this thing, we throw it all in a shared Dropbox folder, they grab it, and a day later they put the final content in the box for us and mm-hmm. we don't have to touch it at that point. We mm-hmm. just upload it to the servers. And so and it's for very little cost each month and it's done.
Yes, it is so worth it, especially with to see the growth and the potential that it could be. It's definitely worth the investment to pass it off. So you can just stay in your zone of genius and do what works best for you and then be able to outsource everything else.
Absolutely. And stay in that zone of genius. Yes. I like that term, that phrase, right? Because I'm not a sound guy. I don't want to deal with the sound. I don't want to mess with all that, you know, computer stuff. And right. I want to just talk about what I know.
Exactly.
I'm going to let somebody else do the rest of it.
Yes. Right?
I like that. Okay. So a couple of owns. I can't believe how fast time is going.
I know. Yeah, we can keep talking forever.
Right? We could have three episodes here. How long, is there a target time length for a podcast?
That's such a great question. And really, it's going to depend for this, what is your target customer doing when they're going to be listening to a podcast? Mm-hmm. So statistically, most podcasts are really listened if they're between 15 to 30 minutes.
Okay.
That's like your sweet spot. Mm-hmm. Now for me, I have a long commute to work. So I want over hour long episodes because I'm listening to them at a faster speed. I can usually get one or two in, but the ones for me that are like 7 or 8 minutes that are chock full of like really juicy stuff, those are really good to, you know, listen at one speed to really absorb it, but I have to be in the right frame of mind. Mm-hmm. So I want, when you're asking this question of like, well, how long should they actually be? I want you to be processing, well, what does my target audience have time for?
Right.
When do I envision them actually listening to this? Mm-hmm. And if you have that person in mind, as most business owners do, they have who their ideal client is going to be. When you're thinking about that, you want to think about, okay, when do I envision them listening to this? Where do I see them doing this? And kind of factoring in, okay, if I were to even survey some of my clients, if we were to do this, how long would you want these to be? And more often than not, they're going to be in between that 15 and 30 minutes. I might be an outlier of like really long ones, which is fine. But there are some very successful podcasts that are very, very long. Mm-hmm. And with your example before of doing like an hour and a half, you could chop those up into three 30-minute segments, and that would be really great. I know the ones, podcasts that have like a part one and a part two that really leave you hanging, that you want more, you're going to come back to make sure you finish that whole entire conversation.
Yep. And there's nothing wrong with chopping it in half and then just literally putting on a little bit of an introduction at the beginning.
Absolutely.
Right? Had this conversation with Carrie, wanted to share it with you. Here's kind of what we're talking about. And then at the end of it, you come back and go, okay, now, our conversation was so good, we don't want you to miss the last half of it. That's coming next week, right? That kind of thing can work out well, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. I like that. So you brought up one other point that you mentioned there is you listen to it at...
Oh, yeah. I listen to it at 1.75 speed.
Oh, wow. Right? So, and I listen to a lot, and that's the nice part about the audio piece, right? So I listen to a lot of audiobooks and some of that, and I listen to them all at about 1.4. And the podcast gives you the ability to listen to them faster.
Yes.
And the thing to remember is that the average person speaks at 150 words a minute. The average person listens at 350 words a minute.
Wow.
Right? And so think about the car commercial where all the terms and conditions are at the very end there, right? You can hear it. Mm-hmm. You got to concentrate a little bit more, but you can hear it. A lot of people will listen to podcasts at a faster speed for that reason.
Exactly.
Okay. So at that point then, you know, we talked about the equipment. We talked about how often we should do it. Let me ask you this question. We'll kind of wrap things up with this one. Is so as podcasts become more and more popular, more and more commonplace. Is there something that I can do? Because I don't want my podcast to just be more white noise out there.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely. Is there something? What's? Give me a couple of things that we can do to really hook the listener into this thing.
Yeah,
and make sure that it stands out.
Absolutely. So as cliche as it sounds, there's no one like you. I could have, I know it is so cliche to say, but every person's unique. Every person has their own story. You have your own spin on your business that Jim Bob down the road does not have in his business. Yep. So what are the strengths that you bring to your business, to your organization that you can capitalize on to make you stand out? The big thing with podcasting of how you get seen is the SEO. So you want to be taking a look at those keywords. Why are people researching you? Why are people finding you? How are they finding you? And capitalizing on that, because there truly is no one else like you. So Bill and his business, somebody else is probably out there doing it, but no one's doing it as well as he is, because he has his own personality, his own flair, his own talents and gifts that he has that, again, Jim Bob down the road doesn't. Mm-hmm. So capitalize on that.
Sure.
You want to make sure that you're standing out in that way because there is no one else like you. Mm-hmm. I know that is super cliche to say.
But it's really not. I mean, I think about it. And again, think about if you were, as the business owner, at your customer's home or place of business, and they asked you a question. Right. I mean, you would just simply have a conversation with them,
absolutely,
wouldn't you? That's really exactly what you're looking to do here. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's why you said earlier, right, put a picture of your client in front of you,
exactly,
your customer in front of you, so I can kind of picture talking to this individual. Mm-hmm. All right. So I interrupted you. Right. is there more?
Yeah. One of the other things is when you're thinking about it, what else is out there? Mm-hmm. What other content is maybe in the same vein as mine, maybe in the same topic, maybe the same industry as mine, and maybe listening to a little bit of them. We're not going to get so consumed with them because we don't want to be copycats of them,
right,
but how can I do it differently? Mm-hmm. How can I put my own spin on it? How can I be seen as an expert in this avenue rather than maybe what they're doing? Mm-hmm. Because when you start to research, you know that you have something good, mm-hmm, that you want people to know about and you need the whole world to know about it. Mm-hmm. So when you start researching some of that competition just to see, you're like, ooh, I got this good, or we do this a little bit better, or, oh, they're doing this, maybe we could tweak a couple things. Like, mm-hmm, you're doing it for research.
Sure.
So when you do that with podcasting, you're always asking yourself, what do I bring to the table that's different? Mm-hmm. And how can I capitalize on that? So as much as podcasts are going to get saturated, people fall in love with the people who are speaking.
Doing the podcast.
Yes.
Right.
And they fall in love with the relationship that, mm-hmm, they have. So when we frame it as that, as saturated as it is, there's still going to be people who are going to listen because, mm-hmm, they care about you as a human being. They care about you as a business, mm-hmm, rather than Jim Bob down the street.
You know, it's interesting you say that because one of the podcasts that I listen to is hosted by, you know, this quirky little guy from the UK, right? And sometimes I'll go through the entire podcast and go, well, okay, the story wasn't as good today or the content wasn't as good today, but he's still fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and then I still go back the next week or,
right,
you know, to get the next one. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point. What about kind of in the same vein, one of the things that I had heard previously was, you know, in terms of coming up with content, what are the questions that your customers ask you on a day in and day out basis?
Absolutely.
Right? Every single question they ask could be another,
yes,
podcast topic, right?
Absolutely. So taking your frequently asked questions or, mm-hmm, things that are coming up often in surveys when you're serving at the end of a course or a program, and you're getting some of this information and you're like, wow, I'm getting this question so often. Mm-hmm. Beautiful marketing material for a podcast, because then when that question comes up, you can send them the podcast link. And then all of a sudden you're like, I don't have to sit here and explain this over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I can just send you the link to my podcast. Like, oh, I covered it in this. And then they're like, oh, Bill has a podcast?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, oh my gosh. And then they're like, all of my frequently asked questions can be answered in this podcast. So, sure, we're being resourceful with our time,
yep,
because I truly believe in repurposing the material that we have. Like we said earlier, show up in your zone of genius. Then we're just recreating the wheel over and over, mm-hmm, and over again, and making people, instead of like coming to me as the expert, they're going to the resources I've created. Mm-hmm. So that way I'm not bombarded with questions as a business owner. They're going to the resources that I've created,
yeah,
to find the answers and creating really smart clients as well.
Okay. And so again,
I know so many questions. I love this.
But so the, there are the services out there that, mm-hmm, actually work pretty well. We use some of them here. Is we will take the audio file, mm-hmm, and basically they will transcribe the entire,
yes,
conversation,
mm-hmm,
and that almost becomes a frequently asked question or a blog post,
yep,
that you can have on your website.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So one of the things that we do in our agency is repurposing the content,
mm-hmm,
because again, I want my person to show up, do their one thing, hit record, hit stop, and then be done.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, okay, you've got this long form piece of content, which is beautiful to be able to take so many different pieces of nuggets from,
mm-hmm,
transcribing it, making it optimized for a blog.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, little hot tip, do not take that whole transcript and just throw it into a blog.
Right.
You want to make sure it's optimized to blogging standards. being able to use that for social media marketing. Mm-hmm. A lot of our clients will turn it around and put it into a weekly newsletter. So sure. A lot of people are like, what do I even talk about in this weekly newsletter? I feel like they know so much from me. Well, what are you talking about in your podcast? And how can you pull out different snippets from it mm-hmm. to be able to put it on there? And then Pinterest has been like just a huge goldmine for us of like finding different ways for our target audience for a yep. lot of the clients that we serve to be able to research and search and just being able to come up with creative different ways to use that one piece of content mm-hmm. is just a gold mine because I'm not then coming to you and saying, hey, Bill, what do you want to post about this month? What sure. do you think is most important?
Yep.
They can actually come and be like, okay, I've got four podcasts that mm-hmm. you can pull content from. So as a social media marketer, you have 4 hours, for example, 4 hours of content that you can pull relevant mm-hmm. information from to repurpose it for your website, for your social media platforms. And it's incredible. Mm-hmm. It makes a social media marketer's life so much more simple.
I'll bet, without a doubt. So one of the things that, again, what we're going to do in this podcast is in the attachment for this program, we'll actually go through and what do you say we actually list out some of these resources that we said today.
Absolutely. Right?
So I know you had mentioned your host
yes,
site, yeah. right? We can list that one. We can list some of the audio programs that we've used or the audio editing programs
yes.
that we've used, right? And we'll list those out. We'll put those in the resources for this program as well. So you've got that as well. So any final thoughts, Carrie, as we wrap things up today?
Oh my gosh. I think the biggest thing to say, if you're feeling after listening to this conversation, if you're feeling like the nudge, like maybe this is the right direction we want to go, I just want to say, go for it. Mm-hmm. Make sure you find the right resources, partner with the right people. Maybe you find a really good person that you want to dialogue with for the podcast and mm-hmm. just go for it and really just see if I were to give this a year. Mm-hmm. So one full year of podcasting, just seeing what the possibilities could be, being consistent for 1 year and you never know what doors can open up just mm-hmm. by making a commitment of I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it well. And let's just see what happens. And if it doesn't, you can lay dormant. You can just let your podcast be, and that's totally fine. And you can still use it as a referral piece for people to go back to those original episodes. It's evergreen content. It's going to live on forever as long as it lives. So that's one of the best things about it too. So I say just go for it if you're feeling the nudge.
Great advice.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Yes. Thank you so much, Bill.
Hey, I appreciate it.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.